Rabbi Sai, just to our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayle, Shtav Refuah Shleim Ubesoich Shor Chayle Yisrael. So just to conclude our discussion regarding covering the knife at the table. So first of all, I mean, we've discussed already that some people are noig, some people aren't noig. I've done it over Zman Azeh, whether or not people do or don't, and whether there are people who are noig Sai Shabbos, Sai Chol, and the other people who are only noig on Chol and not on Shabbos. We discussed the various reasons. Just a couple of extra items. One is, does one have to cover the knife during Alamichyo? Because there we also say Rachim No Hashem Lekeinu Al Yisrael Amecha Val Yishlaim Recha Vatziyem Shkan Kvedecha Val Mizbacha Val Heicholecha Vnei Yerushalayim. There's a long, in fact the longest single passage in the middle of Al Amichyo is all about Yerushalayim. And therefore, hypothetically, Al Atzad that you shouldn't have a knife on the table b'chlal because your table is doivin to Mizbeach, then you shouldn't have a knife on the table. Allah said that a person might become so distressed that that he when he thinks about Yerushalayim that he's going to stab himself, then the choyer alamichya as well. So the Mefoshim, I saw this loshen in two different places. They both write something like, have a look at what people do. In other words, it's not the minig to do it. Yeah, there is the logic is there, cyber alamichya. And so like, in the same way that you do it during benching, the logic is there that you should do it by Alamichya as well. But Lamaisa, they both write to us probably one quote from the same place, without a name. They both write, I saw in the Sefer Shmiras HaGufa Nefesh, and also in the Dirshu on Simon Kuf Pei, that in both cases it says that Ru'u Mai Amadabar, in other words, see what the people are doing. People don't do it by Alamichya, it's not the minik, we don't know why. Then there's a question about whether or not you have to cover the blade and the handle, or whether it's good enough to cover the metal part, just the blade. So mitzad the mizbeach side of it, you're not allowed to cut the mizbeach with a blade, it would be good enough the metal part only. Mitzad that you might become so distressed as to pick up the knife in order to stab yourself, then l'choyra, or for one to stab oneself, yeah? Not talking about anybody here. Yeah. Then on that side, you should cover side the metal and side the handle. Okay. And then the final thing. There's a Shalas Shuvas who writes for Yan Dovid who says that the whole thing is a hecker. Whichever way you look at it, covering the knife is a simon that I don't approve of the knife being something that is maimis, and I'm making sure that I don't want, I'm reminding myself that I shouldn't, chas v'sholem, a person shouldn't stab himself if he thinks of Yerushalayim. Therefore, the Shal Shuvas V'Yan Dovid says, it's good enough to cover one knife on the table. So even if all the other knives are uncovered, but as long as you made a hecker, you've done something specific, you've covered one knife, that's good enough. And that is the conclusion of our discussion on that subject. I believe tomorrow we move on to something else.
Thank you.
Started at the Torreyway, Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Dalet Sivan, 10th of June, Rabbi Yonason Liberman Schlitter, a message from the hostages. This week's Torah has been sponsored by family Newman. The first Simchah Mitzvah of Ari Newman Eriyot last Shabbos. Eat rotzen shishu rovus kenov l'rab nachas. Nimen mekol yotzeich l'tzeim. Skus hashavuim v'achayolim b'milchamo. Shiach zeru levoteim l'sholom b'mheiro.
When do we start?
Yeah.
Okay, good morning. Shalom aleichem to everyone. Whoever's watching this, first time speaking, the start of the day, the Torah Way, amazing organization, what goes on here. Let's get straight into it. Basically, we're going to give a message over from the hostages. I just spoke to someone this morning. Is it really true? Yes, it's really true. I don't know how much you're hearing abroad, but in Eretz Israel, there are shockwaves going on. Since October 7th, Am Yisrael have gone through a huge crisis. Many shockwaves have been sent through the whole Jewish people in Israel and abroad. Especially when everyone heard there had been Shemishmo Jewish hostages ripped from their homes. It was unbelievable. No one could imagine it taken to God with such brutality. Because everyone felt their plight, because we're all one big neshama, I'll tell you a small story, if it's true or not, but it makes the point. Travel in Holland, he meets a lot of people. And whenever he sees a Jew, there's always Jews helping him. You know, they're like the brothers. They don't even know them. That's the Jewish people. That's the Jewish nation. We help each other. It doesn't matter who we are and where we are. So let's begin with a short introduction. We started hearing stories which changed basically the face of the Jewish people in Israel and making waves also abroad as well. As I speak now, I'm here for 2 weeks in England. Arachim are now 2 weeks in Panama. 3 weeks ago, they had a seminar in China. Yes, China. There's Israelis there. Wherever the Israelis, Arachim are there. So what happened? One of the incredible... Sorry? I'm not clear enough.
No. Where are they not?
Where are they not?
Oh, Hashem. So basically, one of the incredible stories as an intro, because I'm going to be going over a interview that Rabbi Aaron Levy, who is one of the top lecturers in Arachim, one of the hostages who recently came out, I'm going to be giving over his interaction, what happened with that hostage, and hopefully from that, we see the hostages as a microcosm of the Jewish people, and we're going to hopefully get from that a lot of chizuk and emunah. Can you believe it, what I'm saying? It's unbelievable. Let's take one story of a Gamburger, famous. She was one of the army outpost observers who was kidnapped with her friends, not Shoma Shabbos, not keeping mitzvahs. Her mother, before she was captured, she was kidnapped. She had started keeping Shabbos. Her mother was Nifta. And she wanted to get in touch with Aaron Levy, Rabbi Aaron Levy, after her daughter had been kidnapped to Gaza. So the rabbi came with such a big fear. He's saying, what can I tell such parents? What can I tell them? You know, he tells himself, what would I do if Chas v'Chalila my daughter had been taken into captivity? What can you tell such parents? So the rabbi gives over what happened in the meeting. He arrives in the house and he sees in the salon a huge picture of the daughter, Agam. And the mother and the parents, you can imagine, in such pain they're going through. So the rabbi asks, what do you think that Agam is thinking about? Who is she worrying about while she's in captivity? So the mother answers about her parents. So the rabbi says, so maybe do something. Instead of falling apart, do something with all that pain that you have. The mother, it was known and it was all documented. She started traveling all around Eretz Israel to kibbutzes, to places of so far from Yiddishkeit, giving chizuk. And what happened was that we understood and we found out during time that what her mother was doing, the effect, her daughter started keeping Shabbos, can you believe it? And she found Hashem in captivity. There was a story, it gives me the goose pimples. She started herself, she was strict and she wouldn't eat the meat they gave them. There was a time, the house that she was in, because some were kept in houses. We know the famous rescue from the Al-Gamani. Some of them were like slaves in houses, Shemirachim. So they told her to cook on Shabbos. So what did she answer them? I'm a Jew. Jews don't cook on Shabbos. I'm only here because I'm a Jew, yeah? So she didn't agree. She got beaten. But when she returned from captivity, she had a healthy composition. Why did she have a healthy composition? Because she found a Kodesh Baruch Hu. She said, even in the places of such darkness, we can't imagine, but you're with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's full of light. And we see that on the helicopter when she returned, the famous thing she wrote from the Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, the beginning, the Derech Emuna Bacharti, the Belech Emuna Shevati. I came back with faith. It's unbelievable. There's many, many other stories. We don't have time to. Maybe at the end I have another short one. We'll see with the time. So the question has to be asked, what happened in Gaza? How are some, not, I'm not saying all, but a few of the hostages are finding Kodesh Baruch there. What happened? So that was even without the Chizuk of Arachim seminars. It's unbelievable. So Rav Aaron Levy, as I said, I'm going to give over now the first meeting he had, which was a few weeks ago, with one of the hostages which came out. I'm changing his name because he himself does not want to be advertised. So basically, the mother of this hostage that was released, she herself, while he was in captivity, started keeping Shabbos from a kibbutz. She started keeping Shabbos. She was quite famous. She was going around as well. And her son, Baruch Hashem, came out. So the mother got in touch with Aaron Levy because she liked his lectures. And she felt that he would have a common ground, but she said one thing. She said, "Rabbi, I know you're not a psychologist and you're not an emotional therapist. In that respect, Baruch Hashem, my son is fine. He's strong and grounded." This is the same similar thing we mentioned about Agam Berger. You find a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even in the hell of Gaza, he was so strong and grounded. But I want you to meet him because I see there, he found something there in the tunnels. She felt that he would have a common language with the son, and this is how it went. So the son and Roy meets with Rabbi Aaron Levy. So he tells the rabbi, "You know, my life is divided into two parts. Before October 7th and after. Where would you like to start, Rabbi?" So the rabbi says, "It's better to start before." So he explains he was brought up on a kibbutz, typical Israeli, not religious. Didn't know Jewish concepts, even less. Judaism really didn't interest him. Barely met religious people. And what he knew about them made him happy that he didn't meet them. And it said, he's not pleasant for him to say this to the rabbi, but he said that before October 7th, such a meeting of this now meeting you, Rabbi, wouldn't have happened. Until October 7th, he was busy, he said, living life, vacations everywhere, enjoying himself, connecting to the phone, and to all the things that, you know, don't allow a person to think. That's the point, to think. We'll speak about that later. And then came October 7th, and one moment, everything changed. He was kidnapped. He didn't have access to the outside world. He was alone. In the first days, he said he had terrible fear. This is all the words of the hostage I'm giving over. It's not my words, it's his words. The sudden changes from being a free person, and suddenly that freedom had been taken away, totally crushed him. No one else had prepared him for such a situation. Who can? He didn't know what to do with himself. It's the first time in life that he didn't have control of what was happening to him. He started learning Arabic, and he relates that many times the terrorists, Yimach Shemam, they would speak to him, you know, give orders, this and that. And from time to time, they would talk to him about Judaism and Islam. So the terrorist says to him, they say, "The Jews, they're deceitful. We're not the real Tanakhic people of Israel. And even the Torah Jews that receive this at Har Sinai, they believe in Hamamad Har Sinai. The Jews now have changed. They're not the real ones." So he tells the rabbi, "I didn't know what to tell them. I had no idea what the Torah of Israel was or what was written there. It was the first time in my life that I realized that I had no knowledge of Judaism." It's a bit strange. He said, "Even sad, I was kidnapped only because I was Jewish. And now I didn't know how to answer them." So he goes on and says, the only thing was he was free to do. What was the only thing he was free to do? Was to think. The ability to think, he said, during his time in the tunnels in Gaza, was the greatest gift he had. In Western culture, this is the words of the hostage that came out, Ra'i. He says, in the Western culture, he says, almost doesn't allow you to stop and think, constantly in the rat race of life, influenced by public opinion, the media, commercials, and even our values we don't really choose freely. Western culture, he says, has provided us with a lot of material prosperity, not giving us the freedom to decide for ourselves what we really want, and especially the ability to think freely and independently. That gift, he said, he got in the tunnels of Gaza. Apart from thinking, he couldn't do anything else. He couldn't control any part of his life. "But my thoughts," he said, "his thoughts, even the terrorists, Yimach Shemam, they could not control." He had hundreds of days to think about his family and friends. But most of all, what did he think about? He thought about himself. He thought about what I was doing in this world. What's the purpose of life? What are we here for? Little by little, he said he didn't know how, but he reached and he found a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is someone from a kibbutz who was so far from Yiddish and didn't even know how to answer the terrorists, Yimach Shemam. Didn't know how to answer them. It happened, he said, in a moment. He didn't know a Kodesh Baruch Hu before that. He had never, ever experienced it. But now I'm here today because I found him. That's why he came to Rav Aaron Levy for this meeting. He says, "I can't explain to you how it happened. But what happened was from a person who didn't believe in anything became a person who feels the Kodesh Baruch Hu even in the depths of the hell, the tunnels in Gaza. When I was there, I was felt that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was with me. But not just with me, really with me. You know, people are going to say it was an imagination, it's not real. But it was really real. And what happened because of that, because it was real? I stopped being afraid. He felt someone was protecting him. That maybe I couldn't decide on my life, but neither could the terrorist Yimach Shimon decide. Now I had found a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That he understands and realizes when he was there that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the only one who decides and the only one who controls both on the ground and underground. With all that, Roi said, he tells the rabbi. He came to ask for his help to the rabbi. Why? He wants to understand what it means to be a Jew. What is the role of the Torah of Israel that the terrorists, Yimach Shimon, they started speaking to about in order to know if we did we really receive the Torah at Har Sinai? That's the Arachim seminar. Did we really receive it? Or as the terrorists claimed that we're not the original ones. We're forgeries. The one Jews today, we're forgeries. We're the forged. So he says, Rabbi, the question I'm most concerned about is what exactly did I find? Why did I find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the depths of the furnace? Why did it happen to me? So he says, Rabbi Aaron Levy takes over and he says, to answer this question, first of all, we need to understand what are these thoughts that you're talking about? What is the purpose to know that with their help, that's how we can think? According to the Torah of Israel, thought is a connection. It's the offspring of connection between the neurons in the brain, but it's also mainly responsible with the connection of the human being with the reality. The senses, of course, all the information around us, they capture, but without thought, the senses are completely insignificant. Thought is what connects us to reality with the help of our senses, but is also what allows us to connect the past to the present in order to decide on the future. Thoughts are the factors which, because of it, we can be held responsible for our actions. This connection of thought to the material reality is a vital connection in order to live. But it only affects us very much because the connection to the material reality prevents us from connecting to the spiritual reality. So he's telling Roy, he says, thought is like a station that is running and looking for a connection. Our choice is based on the decision to where we decide to connect those thoughts to. If we decide to connect it to materialism, it distances from the connection to the spiritual level. And if we choose to detach from materialism, then at the very moment when we overcome our connection, will be everything beyond it. You can get into the heavens. That's why, Roi, you discovered a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he tells him, Dafka there in the tunnels of Gaza. Why? Because there you disconnected. Even though it was against your will, but you disconnected from the material reality. And that separation allowed your thoughts to connect to the spiritual reality. And when you connect to it, immediately you're going to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the person who defines this law of connection, the tzaddik, he tells him, the tzaddik, Hazonish, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, in the Sefer, at the beginning, I'm going to read it out in English, the beginning of Emunah Bitochem, Perik Aleph. It says, faith, Emunah, is the refined tendency of the soul. If a person is sensitive and is in a state of equilibrium, free of any bodily desires, and in this calm state he looks up to the sky in wonder, and down to the depths of the earth he is moved and astounded. The world seems to him an impenetrable, wondrous mystery, one which engulfs his heart and his mind to the point that he almost loses his senses, and no breath of life is left in him. All he can think of is this mystery. He longs to know its solution. He would choose to go through fire and water for it. For what is life to him? If these pleasures of life are in an impenetrable mystery, he feels dazed, bereft, bewildered. He longs to unravel this mystery and get to its root, but the gates are locked. That's what he gives over to him. So he tells Roy with these words that the Hazabish is teaching us, that what prevents the soul from its natural desire to connect to its roots and to the world of spirituality is our bodily desires and running after this world for the sake of the world. That if the Hazanish says, if a person is lucky enough to free himself from those bodily desires and he's in a calm state, he's going to get to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Immediately, it's going to waken up in him the natural tendency towards true emuna, and it won't leave him until he finds a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is a trait, he told Ru'i, that exists in every person who has a neshama. But in order to feel it, a person is required to disconnect, and even for a moment, from those bodily desires and from the rat race of life. Both of these tendencies, while you were in captivity, were part of you. You found a Kodesh Baruch Hu there because you were free of all your desires in life and you had time to think. And when that happens, immediately you're going to reach a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chok v'lo yavo. It's not something emotional. This is your neshama. This is its natural tendency. Emuna is a direct result of the Adinus HaNefesh. That's what the Hazanish spoke about. That's why it happened there. That's exactly what we see. He talks about the Korban Ola. What's the Korban Ola? What does it say? It says, Dafka in the Korban Ola, Leritzono, according to his will. Why is that so important? Why, regarding to other mitzvahs, it's not so necessary? It doesn't depend according to his will, Leritzono, the person performing a particular mitzvah. It's because the Korban Ola is brought because of the person's machshava, of hira halev, bad thoughts. And therefore, Dafka there is necessary to bring from his own will. To teach us, the will of a person will determine whether he will stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu or his own will. That only by determining where a person uses his das and his will to teach us that if a person decides from his own will and from his own bechira to cut from materialism, immediately he will stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if he chooses to connect to him, he will cut himself off from his present situation. This is exactly what the Admor Misokoshov says. He brings down Zefer Solit Rav. He says, he writes, and he says, Hashem Mishmul Ala Torah. The point is that when a person cancels his das and his will to the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because of that, they give him das from Shemayim, so that he should know das. When a person has knowledge, that is connection. And if a person cancels his knowledge and separates from all that connection he has with the matters of the world and humbles himself to the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, immediately his soul connects to its roots. And from above, it pulls down his soul roots and all kinds of influences, because the root of the soul is connected to the source of life. This is the reason why you were able to recognize a Kodesh Baruch Hu, tells Rui, in the tunnels Dafka of Gaza. It happened there because there you were allowed to use your mind to connect to those exact places we spoke about, which before October 7th you didn't allow yourself and you weren't connected to. This is exactly what happens behind the mitzvah of Shabbos. What's the mitzvah of Shabbos? Why does he talk to him about Shabbos? Because Rabbi Aaron Levy explains to him, in the course of his many years working with Arachim, he explains, he learned that one of the barriers that prevent a person from keeping mitzvahs is the fear of the mitzvah of Shabbos. This fear is based behind many famous questions like, where is it in the Torah that it's forbidden to travel on Shabbos? Or why is it forbidden to do so many different things? Or where is it written in Torah that you can't hear music on Shabbos? Or even if the Shabbos was given for rest, why not that everyone can decide by himself how to relax? So all these, the answer to all these questions are very simple. He says to Ro'i, Shabbos is a type of tunnel. A type of tunnel that a person enters every week. So that with its help, he will be able to detach from the materiality and connect to the spiritual reality. And it is built in harmony with the help of the prohibitions of Malachas Shabbos. The Shabbos detaches a person from the desire of his pleasures and Olam Hazeh, in order to allow himself to think and to connect to the spiritual dimension. And this is what the Novi talks about. That on the verse, Chazal, that your clothes on Shabbos shouldn't be like your garments during the week, that a person's manner of walking on Shabbos shouldn't be the same as weekdays. So he asked Roy, do you know why? So Rabbi Aaron Levy answers, because if the Shabbos purpose is to detach a person from his connection to the materialism in order to allow him to connect to the spiritual, that's his purpose. He needs to disconnect all the links that connect him to the material world. Because even if one link remains connected, the detachment will not be complete. And of course, neither the connection and the whole purpose of the Shabbos will not be complete. Disconnecting from our desires of this world. Shabbos is a type of tunnel. It is not a tunnel, Shemishmo, that a person has been captured in. But you enter with simcha and with rotzon every week. But if a person is zoche to keep all of its laws, he is open to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu every week anew. With the help of Shabbos, he is able to detach himself from this world and to connect to his spiritual roots. And from that, to give him strength for the whole week. This is exactly why we have an Neshama Yisera that a person receives on Shabbos. He receives it dafka on Shabbos because he's disconnected from all the homer, all the materialism. When you separate from the materialism, you connect to spirituality. And when you connect to the Ruach, you are zocher to blessings. And what does it says on Shabbos? Shabbos is makor bracha. It's the source of all blessings. He says, Roy, that during the years you didn't know about Judaism. Because you're running after this world, you said that only in the tunnels of Gaza you had a chance to think, and therefore dafka there you found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It happened because only there you succeeded to disconnect. And when you disconnected, you connected. When you connected, you found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your emunah was always there. But as we said before, it awakens only when a person is free from all his desires, and that is time to think. In the tunnels, you were zochet to a type of Shabbos that lasted for many hundreds of days. But now, that's why you returned a different person. So now, Rabbi Aaron Levy tells Roy, the question is now, what are you going to do with it? After you were saved from death, Shemirachim, and return to life, if you will continue to create moments of disconnection in order to keep the connection you created there, or not, this is only your choice, he tells him. This is the choice of each and one of us. The rabbi finishes with Roy and he says, he's telling Roy, the rabbi, and because you are zocher to it, what he found in the tunnels in Gaza, I would be very happy if you could give me a brocha to the rabbi, that I will be also tiske to such dveikus that you merited when you were there, but please, he says, without the tunnels of Gaza. I see we have a few minutes. There's one short story of another hostage, Omer Shem Tov. It's very interesting. A secular media in Eretz Israel don't know where to put themselves. Channel 11, 12, 13 They keep on interviewing these hostages, many of them, and they keep on talking about Kodesh Baruch. We know the famous Emily with her fingers, Shemirachim, she was one of the torch bearers or something in Yom HaTzmaut. And the first thing she said, I don't know if you saw it, she said she wants to thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu for saving me from Gaza. Unbelievable. Omer Shem Tov, he was at the Nova party. His parents, during his captivity, became closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. They started giving chizuk, simon to the parents of Agam Berger. And there he also found a Kodesh Baruch in captivity, explains to one of the media channels in Eretz Israel. I don't know if you saw it in England. And he explains he spoke to Kodesh Baruch every day. He started keeping Shabbos. And what happened was, because he started keeping Shabbos, he was upset because you cannot help keep Shabbos there. It's not exactly, you know, a problem there. As soon as that happened, he was given a torch, because there, Shemirachim, to get around, he was given a torch, and then he says to his friend, "Why, Baruch Hashem, now I can really keep Shabbos. I'm not going to be using the torch on Shabbos." Can you believe the depths of these neshamas? It's unbelievable. That's what he said to his friend. It's a miracle. He said, it's a miracle. Another small thing that he said also on that same Shabbos, he remembered, you know, his father used to make Kiddush on Friday night, Leil Shabbos, but he didn't have any grape juice. He says, on the same day of those thoughts, he doesn't know how and why, one of the terrorists, Yimach Shem, put a bottle of small grape juice by him, by his door, wherever he was. What happened was, so he's got a problem because, you know, he doesn't know when he's leaving. He's going to get it again. He has to keep. So he did every week his Kiddush, and he used to put in the cap. And that's how he made his Kiddush. And he kept it going. He said that was the miracle as well. It didn't go off. You know, grape juice in the fridge, it didn't go off. And he had the last drop he used, and then he returned to Eretz Yisrael. He returned home. These stories are incredible, and we're seeing a real turnabout in the Jewish world. We saw from the Yom Kippur War, 50 years on, how the Tshuva movement happened then. That's when Arachim was founded in 79. Now we see the Tshuva movement is just rocketing up again. And Mitzvah Hashem, we will zocha to the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehem yameinu. Amen. We're only Yeshua's. Thank you very much.
What's the name of the one who runs Arachim?
Rabbi Yossi Vallis. You know the book Incredible? You read the book Incredible?
Rabbi Yossi Vallis. No, it's another man who used to come collecting.
Oh, Rabbi Morgenstern. He doesn't come anymore.
No?
He doesn't come anymore.
How is he?
Yeah, books have been quite since.